Acts chapter 1, verse 1, we were in this text, but I'm going to read all the way down through verse 8. The title of the message is The Power of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is, of course, Luke writing, an extension of the book of Luke. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, he asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank you for your word once again. I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest on this message as it comes forth. I pray that I would be a vessel of your choosing and your using. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you just a little bit of a review from last week. Last week we were talking about the mission of Jesus. We distilled it down to four areas. The mission of Jesus: to glorify God, to seek and to save the lost, that's number two. Number three, to disciple those that are saved. And number four, to minister to human needs. And we see all through the New Testament, Gospels, Jesus doing exactly those things. Okay, so the mission: to glorify God, to seek and to save the lost, to disciple the saved, and to meet the needs of the people. And we talked about how that Jesus did that. Luke said, I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Began. Generally, he would be say, he did. Now we're in Acts. Jesus has ascended at the end of the Gospel of Luke. We're in Acts, just backing up a little bit, but in Acts, and he's saying this is the beginning of what Jesus is doing. And it would be a little confusing if we didn't understand that Jesus intended to continue to do what he did through the church. And we talked about how that Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church, and that the church, of course, is the body. And we've decided that maybe it was a good thing that the body went the same direction as the head. So if this is the mission of Christ, then it needs to be the mission of the church. If the church is going to be the extension of Christ on this earth after he ascended, then the church has to be on the same mission that Jesus was on, or you're going to end up with a headless church. Today, Jesus is still working through the church in powerful ways. Well, at least some of the churches. We looked at the story of the five foolish and the five wise virgins. The five foolish virgins ran out of oil. And we're talking about the churches. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended, and there's some churches that have kind of gone asleep. Their oil has gone out. There's just nothing there for them to go on reserves. But then there's five wise virgins that had enough oil, being the symbol, oil being symbol of the Holy Spirit. So it is our prayer and our hope that through this series and through thinking about this, that we would be one of those churches that still has oil in their lamp. Now, we not only need to have the same mission as Christ, we need to have the same power. We need to be powered by the same thing that Jesus was powered by. In the next few minutes, I'm going to show you several scriptures that show you that Jesus was powered by the Holy Spirit. You kind of miss that as you read through the scripture because, you know, Jesus was God and Jesus was the Son of God, and he just could do things. But what we have to remember is that The Bible tells us that Jesus laid down his glory when he left heaven and came here. He came fully man. He was a human being. He was a man, well, a human like we are. And he laid all that down. How could he do these things if he was like us? And we began to see that, well, look at verse 2 of Acts chapter 1. This is our first mention here this morning. Until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. It was there's a mention there that it was the Holy Spirit that was empowering Jesus. He gave the commandments through the Holy Spirit. It was significant, and we're going to see several scriptures like that, so that we understand there's two reasons that I'm pointing this out, so that we understand that Jesus was fully man, yet he was powered, but he was powered by the Holy Spirit. One reason that we need to understand that is that, of course, this is how Jesus performed ministry. This is how he accomplished or pursued those four missions that we just talked about. And secondly, that means that we can do the same thing because he was human, we're human, he was powered by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus began to share with us that that was the way it was going to be for his church as well. We need that same kind of power. The church, without the power of the Holy Spirit, is kind of like my house was last night. I just finished going over the message, and I'm glad I got that done first. Just finished going over it, just making sure that things were there, and I always make some changes at the last minute, it seems. And was sitting down, fooling around with the phone and the computer, and all of a sudden there's this explosion. Bang! House went black. Nothing. No phone, because you got those little things you plug in the wall. No phone, no TV, no clocks, no lights, no... It was dark. And of course, that super moon that we had, it was cloudy. The only light that I could see was my pole burning. House is worthless without electricity. I did find something, though. Rummaging around, I found a lamp. And I turned up the wick on the lamp, and I lit the lamp. And I have light. And I held it up, and I looked, and it's almost out of oil. You see, that's kind of the way the church is. Oh, you want to hear the rest of the story, too, I'm sure. Yeah, I called the Otter Tail Power. That was fun this morning because Loyal works for Otter Tail Power. Yeah, I harassed him pretty good. Called Otter Tail Power, and she's talking to me, and she says, could you describe to me the sound you heard? And I said, wait a minute. I just saw sparks float by my window. So hang on. So I stuck my head out, and I said, well, the pole's on fire. She says, I don't want to be rude, but your pole's on fire, and I need to hang up so I can call somebody. That's fine. I went to sleep on the couch, and about 1:20, something like that, I heard some noise out there, so I got up and looked out, and here's two of those bucket trucks backed up to my pole, and they must have got the fire out, and they were working on it. I went back to the couch and went back to sleep, and about 2:20, I woke up, and all the lights in the house were on. So I went around and shut them off, and this morning I could see the top of my pole is gone. It's all burnt off. That electricity is powerful stuff. I mean, it can do all kinds of things. I have a couple computers in the house, a TV, my oven, my refrigerator, my freezer, my furnace. Almost everything in the house that is wash machine, dryer. So it's powered by electricity. And that's kind of like with the Holy Spirit and the church. If you cut the Holy Spirit off to the church, it's powerless. You don't see it. And you generally don't hear it, although the people that have it can make a lot of noise. It's kind of like electricity. The line that comes into my house is a 4-aught, and you know, it's a big I laid the line myself, and it was like wrestling alligators. This is a nasty thing. But you get it laid down in the hole, and they get it covered up, and you don't see it again. It's there. It's hidden. You don't see the line coming in. You don't see the electricity going on, and that's kind of the way the Holy Spirit is. And boy, I tell you, without it, I went down and started my wood burner, but I had to use my lamp to do it, you know. I carry the lamp over to the wood pile, pick up a piece of wood, carry it back over to the furnace, stick it in, look in the furnace with it. This is a real pain. This is why the Lord wanted us to understand that the church needs to be powered by the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke 4 for a couple of them there. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Notice the scriptures make specific mention of the Holy Spirit in the actions of Jesus here. Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is where he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. Would they have had to say that if Jesus was just functioning under his own power? This was something that the scripture wanted to make sure that we understood. We looked at it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, and we're looking at it here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And then after this temptation, and he quoted the word to the word of God to the devil, and the devil left him alone, and look at Luke 4 verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Why did news of him go out to all the surrounding area in the region? Because he was powered by the Holy Spirit. And it makes mention of that right here one more time. It talks about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you think that if it's good enough for Jesus, it would be good enough for us, right? If Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to minister, then we do too. Acts, again, chapter 10 and verse 38. This is Peter preaching to the Gentiles, and this is the middle of his message. He mentions this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. Notice those two kind of come together. With the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It mentions specifically that God was with him, but it mentions specifically that it was the Holy Spirit and the power. And then right after that, it talks about doing good and healing and the enemy, the devil. The Holy Spirit was what was powering him. Now, it's interesting. You remember that conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisees, and they made an accusation against him. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus' words, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you." Now, this was the argument that was going on. The Pharisees could not deny that Jesus was performing miracles. If you look in the New Testament, you cannot see anywhere where anybody denied Jesus' miracles. All the enemies he had, and no one said, no, he wasn't really performing miracles. If they could make that argument, they would have made the argument, but they couldn't make the argument because the miracles were there. They were obvious and plain for everybody to see. So they couldn't make that argument. So the argument instead they made is, oh yeah, he's performing miracles, but he's performing miracles by the devil's power. And this is when Jesus said to him, you know what, that's stupid. Well, he didn't say that, but I think that's kind of the way the conversation would have gone. How can the devil cast out the devil? Will his kingdom stand if the devil's casting out the devil? Kingdom divided against itself can't stand. He made the logical argument that doesn't make any sense. But then he said something. And this kind of took on new meaning to me this last week as I was looking at this. Verse 31 of chapter 12 of Matthew. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. He said that after they said, Oh, it's the devil's power that casts out the demons, when actually it was the Holy Spirit's power. And you notice that Jesus didn't say, oh man, you're in deep trouble, you offended me, or you dissed me. Jesus didn't say that. Because it wasn't Jesus' power as a man, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why he said, at this juncture, he said, buddy, you're messing with the Holy Spirit, because that is the power that powers me, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Never mentioned anything about himself. Didn't even mention that he was offended by that statement. And again, that reminds us that Jesus was very aware that it was the Holy Spirit power. Now, a lot of people get nervous and say, oh, man, maybe I did that sometime. Maybe I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Well, this is kind of the way I look at it, and I think it's kind of a general consensus, that these people, who convicts the world of sin? Remember from last week? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. If you come to the point in your life where you feel convicted of your sin and you repent, now that doesn't mean you necessarily quit sinning altogether, but you're convicted and you repent. Now you have an ongoing struggle with staying in that position in your life. But if you never get to the point where you're convicted and you feel God, then the Holy Spirit, your heart is hardened against the Holy Spirit's prompting, because that's what he does. You know, when Stephen was preaching, it said, and their hearts were pricked. So the Holy Spirit does that convicting thing. And these Pharisees were so, their hearts were so hard against the Holy Spirit that there's no way that they could be convicted of sin, because their hearts were so hard. And if their hearts were so hard that they couldn't be convicted, then there's no way they're going to be saved, because that's the only way that you can be saved, by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So it is an unpardonable sin if you're so hard against the Holy Spirit that you aren't even able to be convicted. It's unpardonable by the virtue of that you don't repent. And if you never repent, you're in deep trouble. Now, some of you are really good repenters. So Jesus is again, let me read verse 31 again. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. And the reason he said that is because it was the Spirit that was, the power of the Spirit in him that was casting out the demons. Now, the name Christ means anointed one. That again is referring to the Holy Spirit. You remember when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that she was going to have a child, and she said, okay, how's that possible? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. So way back in the beginning, and before that, it was the cousin, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit was involved in that whole thing. The Holy Spirit was involved in the miraculous conception of Jesus. That was the plan of God from the very beginning, that the Holy Spirit would be the one, kind of like the electricity in the house. I don't think about the electricity in the house particularly. I don't wonder, stand out in the yard and wonder, where was it again I put that line, unless I'm trying to dig. And I don't think about, you know, that invisible stuff that comes through the line, unless it all quits. I don't think about this. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. The church is powered by the Holy Spirit, and we see the manifestations of it. We see the power of it. And it's easy to forget where that is coming from. Now, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't worship the Holy Spirit. His job is to uplift the name of Jesus, point us towards Christ. But he is part of the team, and a very, very powerful part of the team. You remember when Jesus first introduced himself to the world as being in the ministry? Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Wasn't that long ago we read this. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Did you notice that before? The Spirit of the Lord. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament that applies to Jesus, and Jesus read it on purpose because this was about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, set to liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was anointed by the Spirit to preach, to heal, to proclaim, to set people free. It's an amazing thing. And he stood up and said that right on the onset of it. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? John chapter 1. Now, we'll get into some minutiae of the things that we know about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture in the coming weeks. But John chapter 1 and verse 32, and I'm going to wrap it up here. Jesus was already anointed by the Holy Spirit, so it's interesting that there was more to come here in this passage of Scripture. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained on him. This is his baptism. When he went in the water, he came up, and John saw this. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, there's an awful lot of ways that people have determined how the Holy Spirit needs to manifest itself within the body of the church, but that discussion can't even begin until we begin to realize that we need that power of the Holy Spirit to be a part of what Jesus wants to accomplish. If you want to be used by God to accomplish something, part of those missions that Jesus, if you want to be used by him, you have to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I've got Jesus and that's enough. Well, Jesus is enough to get you saved. But remember, this is part of God's plan, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three. And so we need to be cognizant of that. We need to be aware of that. And I think a good thing to do would be to pray. And that's, Jill's going to have some prayer requests when we do the prayer marathon. And I'm going to have a couple suggestions as tonight we're going to talk a little bit. I won't be able to preach very long because we have a lot of things going on. Probably preach 15 minutes maybe. But we're going to preach about preparing the vessel to be used. How many know just because you're a vessel doesn't mean you're usable? So if you don't like to be yelled at, don't come tonight. Okay? So if you like to be yelled at, that was my wife. She liked preachers to yell at her. Except me. I don't know what that was all about, but I could never yell at her, but she liked preachers that yelled at her. You like that?
Sure.
All right, Harlow, you're going to be right in front row. All right. We're going to close with that, and this is an ongoing message. I hope that you understand where we're going with this. We wanted to establish the fact that Jesus was powered by the Holy Spirit, so the church needs to be powered by the Holy Spirit, so you need to be powered by the Holy Spirit, and then we'll work with it from there. Okay, everyone would like to, if you would, please just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'll challenge you just for a second on two levels. One is, if you have never given your life to Christ, or if you have and you really feel like you have drifted too far away, I always liken a relationship with Christ like being under an umbrella. The blood of Jesus is like an umbrella. He protects you. But if you wander too far off from under the umbrella, he can't protect you. And we need to kind of stay close to him. So if you're a wanderer and you've wandered a little too far away from him, you like prayer, just slip your hand up and I'll see that and know who to pray for. Anyone? So I'd like really prayer that I could draw closer to Christ. Anyone? I see that hand. Takes a lot of courage to do that. Anyone else? See that hand? All right. Last challenge. Perhaps you have kind of put the Holy Spirit on the back of the shelf somewhere. You just haven't been a thought for you, and it really needs to be. And you'd like to have the Holy Spirit help you become a better vessel. If that's you this morning, you slip your hand up. I'll see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. 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 See that hand. Put them down again. Let them pray for you. Lord, I pray for the ones who lifted their hands that were concerned about being a little bit too far away from Jesus, maybe out from underneath that umbrella of the blood of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would just draw them in closer, that they would just walk closer to you for their own good, for their own good, for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you would show them things in your word and in daily living, Lord, that would help them to realize that you, your desire, your passion is to be close to them. I pray, Lord, that would draw them closer to you as well. And I pray for those who lifted their hands that really need to be a better vessel and just need to be yielding themselves up to the Holy Spirit to be used. And I pray, Lord, not only would you use them, you'd overflow them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for your love and your patience with us. Lord, we want to be about your work. And we want to be about it with your power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Arnold's going to come close out.